20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for bringing the Pack-A-Day Podcast into your home or your car or your earbuds or wherever you're listening to this or watching this on the YouTube channel, whether you're listening or watching on Cheesehead TV, Packer Report, your favorite Pack-A-Day Podcast station, wherever you may be getting it. I appreciate it a ton. It always hits me every once in a while of just the opportunity that I get to talk Packers with you guys 365 days a year. It means the world to me. And of course, I appreciate all your support, not only for the episodes that I'm doing, but of course, all of the Pack-A-Day Podcast episodes, which we have a team of just tremendous people that is pumping out the most unbelievable, best Packers content anywhere in the world every single day of the year. So make sure to support everyone on the channel. Make sure to support the podcast. Tell a friend. Chances are, if you like it, hopefully somebody else is going to as well. So tell everyone you can. Huge shout out today to John Mace for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that a ton, John. Be a great time now to check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships. Four different tiers available, early episode releases, members-only videos, members-only Q&As. Had a blast in this week's Q&A. The Q&As every single week bring the heat. There's so many great questions, and it's really fun getting to know the people in those Q&As every single week. So again, great opportunity to get signed up. We did have one big piece of news and information about the Packers on Wednesday, and that is that Jack Podlesny is no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. And I think we saw this coming maybe a little bit, you know, when Matt LaFleur was asked if they would carry three kickers into training camp. He kind of, you know, tiptoed around it a little bit, kind of gave it the feel that maybe they wouldn't. And to be fair, we don't know that there won't be three kickers on the roster come training camp. With the release of Jack Podlesny, there right now are two kickers on the roster, Greg Joseph and, of course, Anders Carlson. But there's also two open roster spots. They have not filled the previous roster spot that they had open, and now they have a second roster spot open. And we heard Rich Bisaccia early in the offseason basically say, hey, they'll churn out all of the kickers that they need to ultimately find the kicker that is going to be kicking for the Packers in 2024. This is a major position of need. You know, whether it is somebody that's on the roster now or whether it's somebody that's out there still, they've got to figure out who they can trust going into the season. As I've said, I don't know that that's going to happen in preseason and training camp. I don't care how great the kicker looks in either of those situations. I'm still going to probably have a little bit of nerves and trepidation going into the start of the regular season, but may the best man win. And right now, that seemingly is between Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph. So hopefully those two kick tremendously well all throughout camp and preseason. And can whoever wins the job can have a great 2024, and they can hopefully put those kicking woes and uncertainties to rest. And we can kind of get back to, you know, the years where it was Mason Crosby or Ryan Longwell or Chris Jackie. And you just kind of had the feel of like, all right, they're going to go out and make the kick when they need to. And I know there were some blips in the radar there every once in a while, specifically some Crosby years that weren't quite as great, but overall, that kicker position had felt at times like it was pretty secure. You felt comfortable with the kicker going out there. Doesn't feel that way right now. So this is going to be a major competition that still takes place through the remainder of training camp and preseason. All right, today is our third part in our three-part series of sort of expectations for the Packers, blueprints for the Packers, whatever you want to call it. On day one, we talked about Super Bowl expectations. We talked about basically the blueprint of how this Packers team in 2024/2025 could go about winning a Super Bowl this coming February. And unlike last year when we did the same exercise, this felt a lot more believable. It felt a lot easier to tell the story of how Green Bay could get to that spot and ultimately maybe hoist and raise a Lombardi and bring it back to Green Bay. I think there is a real legitimate chance that that could happen. It's hard. It's going to be extremely difficult, but I think Green Bay is within that conversation. Then yesterday in part two, we talked about how it could go in the opposite direction, how Green Bay, with all these hopes and all of this excitement going into 2024, maybe doesn't live up to expectations and maybe actually takes a step back this season. How would that look? How would that happen? And some of those red flags to kind of watch out for as we go into this season. And then today is going to be, what are the realistic expectations? What should we be watching for? What should we be hoping for? So today we're going to set the tone. We're going to set the expectations. And I think this is so important and such a important aspect to do, because I think sometimes we always, again, just expect the team to be incredible. You know, if we expect that Joe Barry's defense is going to be the 20th defense, and then he goes out and has the 20th best defense, all right, well, the expectations were met. You know, it's sometimes foolhardy to expect something better than, you know, or like hold them accountable to something better when our expectations going in were not that great. And now I'm not saying anything specifically for this team is going to be that way. I think special teams, I've talked about, hey, can we just be middle of the road? Can we just see a special teams that is okay, that's not winning you games and it's not losing you games, it's just solid. I'm hopeful for, and I'm expecting a 16th to 18th special teams. But that means if they're actually the 18th best special teams in the league, whatever that equates to, I'm not going to get too upset if they're 18th. There might be times where I wish they were better. There are going to be times where I wish they made a field goal, didn't muff a punt, whatever it might be. But if it ultimately equates to somewhere between the 16th and 18th best special teams, all right, I can live with it. Not going to be too upset by that. I want to see consistent progress. But I think it is important to set those expectations going into the season so we can kind of hold the team, I don't want to say accountable in the right way, but like not have exaggerated expectations that everything's just going to be perfect. We have to have some forgiveness throughout the course of a season because, again, not everything is going to go the exact way that you want it to. And sometimes bad things are going to happen to your 2024 Green Bay Packers. It's just the reality of every single season. So before we kind of get to some of the things that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on, I think one way to sort of expectation set going into the year is to kind of take a look at Vegas. Now, it's worth remembering and noting that Vegas is trying to get you to bet. They're not necessarily trying to set the exact perfect, you know, line, meaning they're not trying to accurately 1,000,000% predict the outcome. They're trying to get you to bet. So it's not complete apples to apples, but guess what? Vegas usually does a pretty good job. And the way that they ultimately make money is by being within a, you know, degree of what they kind of set as their expectation going in. So going over some of these Vegas lines kind of gives us an idea of where Vegas views the Green Bay Packers, for better or for worse. Now, this is not a gambling episode. I'm not sponsored by anyone today. I'm not telling you to go to any site. And as I will tell you more often than not, don't trust my gambling advice. Not a great thing to do. Definitely not a great thing to do. So this is not about that, but I think it gives us an idea about where this team is sort of thought of from a more national landscape. So let's take a look at some of those just as kind of a fun exercise, and then we'll get into some of the things to watch for. First of all, we've got win totals. The Packers' win total line is set at 9.5 wins. Remember, they went 9-8 a season ago. So there's not a ton here that would give you this huge indicator that Vegas or whatever powers that be are expecting a massive jump from Green Bay. It's not like the line is set at 11 or 12 or something crazy. It's set at 9.5, which ties them for 9th in the NFL. It also ranks them tied for fifth, in the NFC. The 49ers first, Cowboys second, Lions third, Eagles fourth, and then the Packers and Falcons are tied for fifth. And again, 9.5 is the sort of expected win total, the over-under win total, if you will. They are plus 1,900 to win the Super Bowl. That puts them at 10th. Teams that are ahead of them, the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Ravens, the Lions, the Bills, the Bengals, the Texans, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. Nine teams that are ahead of the Packers in odds to win the Super Bowl. Some interesting ones on there. The Cowboys, a little bit interesting. If I remember correctly, the Packers went into Dallas. That's right. They went into Dallas and completely obliterated that Cowboys team. The Cowboys didn't really get better in the offseason. The Packers did seem to get better. So that's a little bit of an interesting one. All the other ones, I think, certainly well within that conversation. The Eagles are a bit interesting, coming off the sort of collapse that they had at the end of last season. But I think if you were to tell me that the Super Bowl champion came from the 10 teams that I just mentioned, Chiefs, 49ers, Ravens, Lions, Bills, Bengals, Texans, Eagles, Cowboys, and Packers, I'd feel pretty good about that. And like I said, the only one I could make a really strong argument, maybe the Cowboys being the Packers ahead of them. You could make arguments over the Texans, over the Eagles, over the Bengals, maybe even some of the others. But I think it's not hugely, massively shocking where they are on that list. But 10th overall is where Vegas puts them right now, plus 1,900 to win the Super Bowl. The Packers are plus 800 to win the NFC, which puts them at 5th in the NFC. 49ers, Lions, Eagles, and Cowboys all ahead of the Packers in likelihood to win the NFC. It's worth noting, if you want to win a Super Bowl, guess what? You got to win the NFC first. And they are currently ranked 5th by Vegas to win the NFC, plus 800. It's not exactly like over-the-top confidence there, right? But it's not bad. They're in the conversation. The Packers are plus 210 to just win the NFC North. The Lions are in first at plus 150. The Packers then at plus 210. The Bears at plus 265. So those three teams pretty close. And then the Vikings at plus 1,000. Powers that be not exactly super excited about the Vikings' chances to win the NFC North, but Lions, Packers, Bears all in a fairly relative, you know, close vicinity to one another. But again, Lions the most likely to win the NFC North. The Packers are minus 155 to make the playoffs. However, the Lions, Eagles, 49ers, Cowboys, and Falcons all have better odds to make the playoffs in the NFC than the Packers. So despite them being favorites or favorited to make it to the playoffs, they're only sixth on that list, which of course, if they did end up getting the sixth seed, that makes it a pretty daunting task as you go on the road for basically the entirety of the playoffs, having to win three playoff games and then a Super Bowl. That would be very tough for Green Bay. As we saw a season ago, that's a tough road and a tough path to have to walk to try to get that Super Bowl. The Packers are plus 900 to get the number one seed. Not impossible, but they are currently behind the 49ers, Eagles, Lions, Cowboys, and Falcons, putting them at sixth in the NFC for most likelihood to get the number one, which would obviously give them home field advantage throughout and that super, super important bye week that you don't have to play in the wild card round. Plus 900. They are plus 10,000 to go undefeated, tied for ninth in the NFL. Don't think that's going to happen, but they are plus 10,000 to again go undefeated. They are plus 1,300, which is interesting, to be the last remaining undefeated team, which is the fifth best odds of any team in the NFL to be the last remaining undefeated team. They are plus 60,000 to go 0-17. I can say with pretty good certainty, I will give you advice on this one. I don't think you should place any money on the Packers going 0-17. I don't like your odds on that one. 5 weeks into the season, this is an interesting one that I saw. So this is their win expectation 5 weeks into the year.
Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, getkikoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax VantageScore 3.0 changes for kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. Three wins is plus 185. So their most likely win total at the 5 week mark is 3-2, plus 185, or I guess 3-1-1 or whatever. They will only have three wins, plus 185. Next is four wins, plus 250, two wins, plus 260, one win, plus 650, five wins, plus 700, and zero wins is plus 3000. So the most likely odds here for the Packers 5 weeks into the year is 3-2 or three wins total at plus 185. They are plus 1500 to be the highest scoring team in the league, which ties them for 10th. That's a little surprising to me. I think this has the ability to be a really freaking good offense. So tied for 10th was a little bit surprising to me. That was one that stood out a little bit. The over under on points that they will score this season is 415.5. 415.5 total points on the year in the 17-game regular season, I should say. Some individual award odds. Marshawn Lloyd, plus 8,000 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, tied for 25th. Edgerrin Cooper, plus 3,000 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, tied for 10th. Javon Bullard, this is an interesting one too, plus 5,000 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, tied for 18th. I would have expected Cooper and Bullard to be higher, two guys that I expect to start pretty much every single game this year if they can stay healthy. I would probably put them a little bit higher, but 10th and 18th is what it is. Jordan Love, plus 1,400 to win the MVP. That is tied for 5th. Rashawn Gary, plus 5,000 to win Defensive Player of the Year. That is tied for 15th. And Matt LaFleur, plus 1,200 to win Coach of the Year. That is 5th. Jordan Love, over-under passing yards, is set at 3,900.5. So if you think he's going to throw over 3,900 yards, yeah, you know what to do. If you think he's not, well, you know what to do there too. Over-under passing touchdowns for Jordan Love, 27.5. Christian Watson, 750.5 receiving yards is his over-under. 5.5 receiving touchdowns for Watson. Josh Jacobs, 950.5 rushing yards and 7.5 rushing touchdowns. Those are your Vegas odds for your 2024 Green Bay Packers. So what we can kind of glean from this is they're not a top team that's expected to compete for a Super Bowl. They're 10th, but they're within the realm of reason. They're within that conversation, and they are, you know, in the top third of the league when it comes to opportunities to win the Super Bowl. They are very much expected to be a playoff team based on the odds. Jordan Love is expected to be in the MVP conversation. And they have the opportunity to go out and kind of hold their own destiny, meaning this is within their grasp. They're a good enough football team that they should be able to compete based on what they have here. And again, Vegas is kind of saying the same thing, although I think slightly lowered expectations. And I think that's not the worst thing to have going into the year. We know that teams are going to be a lot more familiar with this Green Bay team in 2024 than they were in 2023. That kind of brings us to some of the things that I want to keep an eye on when it comes to these Packers' expectations. Number one, embrace the challenges and even embrace some of the losses. This is a young team. This is a talented team, but it's a young team and a fairly inexperienced team. I talked about the other day how important that I thought it was that this Packers team experienced both victory and defeat in a playoff atmosphere last year. I think that is going to pay huge dividends to this team moving forward. But we know, if we can be honest with ourselves, this is not a team that's going to go 19-0, 20-0 and win a Super Bowl. Like in that order. Like they're not just going to go undefeated and just boat race everyone through the season. It's just not going to happen. Period, end of story. So the other, and just even within that, what I'll say is it's going to be important for this team to learn some of those lessons in season with losses. Guys, I can't tell you enough how, I don't care what sport it is that you're coaching. I don't care what, you know, you know, age group or professional or amateur or whatever it is, kids, you recognize very quick when you are a coach or when you're part of a team that losing is an important part of the process sometimes. You quickly realize some of the things that you thought you could do well that you didn't do so well, that maybe you had some players in positions that they weren't set up to succeed in. And you need to learn some of those lessons in order for your team to get better. And most importantly, so that they can learn those lessons in season, so that they can learn them in season and not find them out come playoff time, where some team is guaranteed to take advantage of some of those things that a regular season team probably found somewhere during the course of the year. So those things are going to be important for this team. There are very, very, very few and far between teams in professional sports that don't have to go through some adversity at some point in time. And that maybe you go through the adversity and you still win, that's fine. But usually you have to learn through your mistakes. You have to learn through your errors. You have to learn through the losses. And I think it's going to be important for this team to experience some of that so that they can, you know, in some way get it out of their system, but in a more important way, learn what the flaws are. You know, you want to learn about those so you can correct them in season so that you're ready to go come playoff time, that those things don't rear their ugly head at the worst possible time imaginable. So I think it's going to be important for the Packers to experience some of those losses. Don't immediately start, we have to fire somebody. It's such a lame cliche. You know, as soon as something goes wrong, somebody's got to get cut. Somebody's got to get fired. There are opportunities to learn from those situations. Embrace that. I'm not saying be excited if they go on a 3-game losing streak. I don't need that. I'm not saying that you should feel great after a loss, especially if it's to a, you know, Giants team that's got a third string quarterback or that Baker Mayfield has a perfect passer rating against you when you're fighting for your playoff lives. I'm not saying that's going to feel good. I'm not saying that you should be excited about it, but I'm saying that along the way, there are going to be a few of those that are going to need to take place. And if they learn from them, if they get better from them, and it makes them stronger moving forward, that's an important part of the process. And my expectation is that this team, specifically with a new defense, is going to need some of that. They're going to need to figure out some things that work well. They're going to need to figure out some things that don't work so well. And sometimes those lessons are best learned in the unfortunate situation of a lost football game. Those lessons hit a little bit harder when you see the L in the L column or the you know extra dash in the L column. So I'm very serious. Like I'm looking forward to seeing what adversity hits this team, what sort of losses they take, and how they bounce back and how they learn from it. Because this is, again, still a very young team that needs to experience some of that even in 2024, hopefully in the regular season, and hopefully they can learn it so that they're ready come postseason time. Next, I'm watching for growth and consistent improvement. I've talked about this with this young team that this is a team that still needs to focus on the fundamentals. It still needs to focus on how they can get better individually, their technical side of things, you know, whether it's pad level, whether it's, you know, whatever we want to talk about here, like those things are going to matter again come playoff time. And I just want to see a team that is consistently pushing itself, that's consistently getting better, that's consistently growing. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes there's going to be growing pains with that. But I want to see overall that this team continues to trend in the right direction. You can have wins. I go back to the 2011 season sometimes. There were wins, especially in like the second half of that season, that were like worrisome wins. That, yeah, you got through the game and you got the W, but you could tell things weren't trending the right way, that there were going to be some issues. And then you get to the first round of the playoffs that you play in and you immediately lose. So I want to see a team that, regardless of wins or losses, that's trending the right way, that's continuing to grow, continuing to get better. Because if they do that, they're going to more likely be playing their best football at the end of the year. And they're hopefully, again, going to learn some of those lessons, continue to progress and be the best versions of themselves come playoff time. Number three, this defense is going to have some sort of learning curve. As much as I like Jeff Hafley so far, usually just doesn't work where you come in and immediately, yep, number one defense, that was it. We got it done.
they're still going to have to figure out how to rally to the football better, tackle better, stop the run better, be better in some, you know, obvious passing situations, get out of those third and shorts consistently. There's going to be some issues with the defense this year. And how quickly they can pick up on all the nuances of this Jeff Hafley defense and how quickly Jeff Hafley can implement his style and get everyone on the same page and communicating effectively, the better. But there's going to be some hiccups along the way, and there's going to be a learning curve for these players that have been used to this Joe Barry system, and now they're going in the exact opposite direction. So how long does it take? And would I be surprised if Green Bay went out and put a great defensive performance against Philly in week one? Not at all. I think that's within the realm of possibility. I think that's within their purview. But I do also know that teams are going to pick up on things as time goes on. They're going to watch the tape. They're going to be able to pick some things apart from Hafley, and they're going to have to grow from that as well. But I want to see just how steep of a learning curve is this. Does the defense look great out the gate? Good, average, bad, ugly? What's the starting point? And then how far do they have to go through the remainder of the season? Next up, like I've said a couple times this week, there will be players that will take a massive step forward, that will take a step forward, some that will remain the same, some that'll take a slight step back, and some that'll take a significant step back. That's the nature of this league. You will see players that you are expecting to have huge seasons disappoint you. You will see players that you're not expecting anything from go out and have really big seasons. Welcome to the NFL. This is how these things work. But is it a net positive for Green Bay? Can they have more of these young players that are trending up, that are keeping that arrow pointed in the right direction, that are continuing to put their best effort forward and showing that they still have more to give to this team and take that step in year two, year three, whatever it might be? And despite there probably being a couple guys that don't live up to expectations, that have a disappointing season, can those be fewer and far between and not as plentiful as the guys that are showing progress? So that's another thing I'm going to be looking for. Is it a net positive with the players who have improved over the guys who have declined? The rookie class, we talked about this the other day as well, but this rookie class is going to be important. Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, Marshawn Lloyd, Jordan Morgan, amongst others, are probably going to have a pretty significant role on this team. And I want to see how quickly these rookies can pick up their specific individual positions in the systems and how quickly they can be impact players. Can there be a guy that immediately shows that, all right, this guy could be special? Is that an Edgerrin Cooper? Is that a Marshawn Lloyd? We'll have to kind of wait and see. But they could really use that next big thing. You have to keep searching for those guys and hopefully you hit on one. But this rookie class is going to be ultra important. It's another thing I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on as we kind of watch this team progress throughout the course of the year. Next is, do we get a better, worse, or same version of Jordan Love? If he is the same, feel like this team can compete. If he's better, really feel like this team can compete. If he's worse, how much worse? This is still a very young quarterback. We talked yesterday about the fact that some defensive coordinator might find a kryptonite for him at some point. Can he overcome it? Can this offense figure out a way to mitigate whatever that weakness might be? Jordan Love's, you know, overarching, you know, career progression is still one of the single most important aspects of this Green Bay Packers team. I really truly believe he can get, I don't know, multiple steps better than what we saw a season ago, which should give a lot of people a pretty scary thought of just how good he can be, because he was pretty freaking good towards the end of last year. And I think he can still be, like I said, I don't want to say significantly better, but I think there's a pretty significant step that he can take still. On the flip side, I think there's ways that he could still regress. And as defenses figure him out a little bit more, figure out what he does well, figure out what he doesn't do well, they're going to challenge him in new and changing ways week in and week out, until the Packers and Jordan Love figure out whatever that one thing is that they start taking away and they start giving them problems. So there's an evolution to this, and Jordan needs to continue to evolve at the right pace. The next thing I'm going to be looking at as we sort of, again, think about expectations for this team and what could ultimately be the decision maker. Do the Packers get value out of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney? I think they will. I have high expectations for both of those guys. But if they don't perform up to those expectations, that's going to set Green Bay back a pretty significant way, because they put a lot of resources into those two guys specifically for this upcoming season. The division's not going to be easy. Now, how good are
J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold for the Vikings? How good is Caleb Williams for the Bears? Those are going to be huge questions in the division. But I do believe that the Bears team is going to be pretty significantly better. I believe the Vikings, while worse on paper than they were a year ago at this time because of the loss of Kirk Cousins. Remember, they lost Kirk Cousins. They had to go to Josh Dobbs and Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. And it was just a collapsed second half of the year for them. They're now having two quarterbacks in McCarthy and Sam Darnold. They're going to be better in the second half in large part due to that. And they still have a lot of playmakers on that team. And we all know, at least expect Detroit to still be a very daunting challenge in the NFC North. So this division will not be easy. Which roulette wheel does the injury, you know, roulette fall on? You know, is it, we talked about this the other day. Every year is a game of roulette when it comes to injuries. And you don't want it to fall on number 10 or number 23 or 52 or any of those key guys. But there will be injuries. There will be season-ending injuries. There will be IR. There will be guys who come back from IR, guys who are out for the season. There's going to be all of it. So does Green Bay get lucky? Do they avoid the catastrophic injuries? Or are they going to have to overcome some pretty significant losses like the 2010 team did when they won the Super Bowl? It's another thing that will alter expectations based on those injuries. Next, you can't leave points on the field. We talked about this as well, but this is a kicking situation where a missed field goal, a missed extra point, any loss in points due to dumb mistakes or poor special teams could cost this team and could cost them in a significant way, just like it did against San Francisco a year ago. And then last but not least, the last thing I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on, there is a true special feel to this team. I can see it already. I can feel it already. You can hear about it from the players and the coaches and the GM, all of them. Is it real? Does it matter? I think it will. I really, really do. I think it's tangible. I think it's real. And I think this team believes in one another. I think they're fighting for each other. I think they all have a common goal. I think they all care about the game deeply. I think they care about their teammates deeply. And I think that stuff is going to matter. And I think that will help them reach whatever possible expectations that they can get to. And it's still going to be a work in progress. Maybe that big run is in 2025 and not in 2024. That's possible too. It's a young team. They still have ways to go from a growth standpoint, but I'm ready for this team. I cannot wait. I truly believe that this team will be better than the team from a season ago. Probably going to need a little bit of injury luck along the way. But I think they're going to ultimately be in a very similar situation to what they were a season ago. I think they're going to win their first playoff game. I think, first of all, get in the playoffs. I think they win their first playoff game. I think they're going to get a very challenging divisional round or conference championship, whatever it might be. And they're going to have to overcome. They're going to have to be better. They're going to have to fight through it. And they're going to probably have to overcome some sort of score deficit. Can they do it? Some of these Green Bay Packer teams have not shown the ability to kind of get out of the rut when they get in that situation in some playoff situations. Can this be the team that overcomes it? I don't know, but my realistic expectation is they can, and I cannot wait to see what they ultimately become. It's a good football team with a lot of really good players on it. And whatever your expectation for them is, whatever mine is, whatever Vegas's is, we can all have different expectations. My expectation, personally, is that I'm going to have a crap ton of fun watching this team in 2024 because they do have all of the ingredients, all of the right vibes, the right group of people, the right group of personalities to be a special team. Whether that amounts to a Super Bowl, that's what's fun about the entire thing. We get to find out. We will see game in and game out, week in and week out, what this team is made of. But on the surface, on paper, in the locker room, it looks like a special group, and it's one of the more excited teams that I have been, or the one of the teams I've been most excited for, I'll put it that way, in a while. So that's my expectation, is that I'm going to have a crap ton of fun watching this team in 2024. That does it. Just to recap those things I'm going to be watching to sort of reset expectations through the course of the year. First of all, I'm going to be embracing the challenges and embracing even the losses as they learn from those through the course of the year. I'm going to watch for growth and consistent improvement. How steep of a learning curve is it for this new defense? Which players improve, which decline, which stay status quo? Is it a net gain or is it a net loss? How good is this rookie class? Do we get a better, worse, or same version of Jordan Love? Did the Packers get value out of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney? How big of a step do the teams in the division take? Which players do the injury roulette wheel of death fall on? Well, not wheel of death, hopefully, wheel of bad injury luck fall on this upcoming season? What versions? Oh, I missed this one. My apologies. What versions of Eric Stokes, Jaire Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Josh Jacobs will we see? We've seen some pretty different views of some of those players over the course of the last few seasons. Eric Stokes, good as a rookie, not so great after that. Jaire Alexander, we've seen first team all pro. We've seen second team all pro. We've seen some versions that he looked afraid to tackle that have not been maybe quite as bought in as other seasons. Rashawn Gary, I think, was mostly injury related, but we've seen Rashawn play at a pretty dominant level. Second half of last year, wasn't really at all. Josh Jacobs, 2 years ago, arguably best running back in football. The season before, the season after, not as much. So what versions of those players do we get? Sorry, I missed that one. Can't leave points on the field. And then does this team really, does that special feel really matter? I think that's another one to kind of keep an eye on. Those are all the things I will be watching, looking for. But like I said, I cannot wait for this season. It's a really fun team. I can't wait to watch them every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, or any time that they are getting ready for a game, starting with family night, preseason, training camp, all of it. And of course, we'll be covering it here for you 365 days a year. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State and Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Dan Guestford. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack-O.